Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Conversationalist Podcast. This has been long awaited for our next episode.
Long awaited and overdue.
Yes, indeed, indeed.
We hear you, Greg.
Today, me and James are here at work.
Yes, this is the special work edition.
Special work edition! Well, we're here at work. We started talking, and we're like, you know what? No one's here right now, so maybe we should record a podcast.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I mean, we're never really, like, our schedules never really line up to do podcasts in our own homes or whatever.
We're so busy. We're just so busy.
So busy, indeed.
With stuff.
And other stuff.
And that other stuff.
And don't forget, stuff.
Stuff. Stuff, dude. This is great content.
Anyways, yes, we're here at work. We're in the conference room right now. And what we do for work, what me and James do for work, is we watch people work.
We're what they call escorts.
Yes, not male escorts, though.
Although I feel like we would both do well in that arena.
I think so, yes.
I think we could make some mad money.
I would be a boy toy, as we call it.
Would you be a... What do they call that? I forget what they call them. Would you be a twinkler or would you be a hunk?
I think I'd be a hunk, but part of me says I want to be a twinkler.
Would your inner, you would want to let out your inner twinkler?
Yes. I know what that means.
I don't know either.
But okay. I'll be a twinkler. It pays more.
So we were just talking about Netflix.
Yes.
You know, with the quarantine and all.
Yep.
Although everyone, the quarantine is coming down to an end. What it seems like.
I don't know about that.
Ish.
We'll get into that later on. Yeah. You know, we haven't really talked about quarantine or COVID or anything like that because our last podcast was probably way before that.
It was our last podcast was before the world changed.
Yeah. So you know what? Maybe we'll take a deep dive into that this podcast.
Yeah.
But for right now, let's talk about something light. Talk about Netflix.
Let's do Netflix, dude.
Okay, so today, Space Force.
Space Force drops.
Creators of The Office.
Mm-hmm. Teaming up with Steve Carell.
Yep, again, to bring us Space Force.
Yeah, which kind of hits home for us.
Yeah, it's weird because we enjoyed seeing, you know, Michael Scott, Steve Carell in a business suit. And then we see him in Blues. It's like, I've been in that shit.
I know, dude. I was like, when I saw the trailer, I was like, Michael?
Yeah.
Like, what are you doing?
It kind of fits, though. Like,
it does.
You could rock some Blues.
Yeah, dude. General, whatever. I forget his name in Space Force. But, yeah. Now, early reviews that I've read on my end, Brandon and I were talking about it. Early reviews are not super fond of new
but
series.
It's like what I was saying. It's like The Office. Like, no one was fond of
Season
The Office.
One, yeah, they did not get good reviews. Even though some of the most probably, like, iconic episodes like Diversity Day.
Yeah.
They're in there. Now, Brandon and I most likely are going to, right after this episode, turn on the TV in the break room and just watch Space Force.
Yeah, probably.
So we'll probably have a more in-depth review at some point later on.
Yeah.
However, what do you think about the earlier reviews? Are you skeptical of the reviews? Are you skeptical more of the reviews or the show?
Look, I love Steve Carell. And I saw a trailer.
I would die for him.
Yes. And it looks pretty funny.
Yeah.
Right? It's a trailer, so obviously they're going to make it more appealing to the audience to have you
Apparently
watch it.
It had a huge budget.
I mean, yeah.
It looked like it, too.
Yeah.
Some of the special effects, I was like, damn.
Dude. Yeah. So, honestly, I'm skeptical. I'll have to see for myself. But, you know, I'm probably going to like it regardless.
So you're more skeptical of the reviews or of the show?
Of the reviews. I actually like season one of The Office.
So I'm more skeptical of the show, but the only reason is because season one of The Office, I used to hate season one of The Office. It made me so uncomfortable. And I just was like, I would just sit there just watching it.
Yeah.
Like the only part I remember of season one that would make me laugh, there were two scenes in season one that would make me laugh of The Office. Obviously, the very first episode where Jim puts Dwight Stapler in Jell-O.
Yeah.
That's funny. And then when Michael is during Diversity Day when he's talking to Kelly and he's like goop de goop de goop, and Kelly slaps him. That always made me laugh. But then I didn't like season one, but then season one grew on me, and now it's one of my favorite seasons. Yeah. I love season one. It's so funny. It's so awkward. It's so cringy. I don't know, man. I don't know if the premise of this, because, like, the Space Force is real. Like, it's a real thing.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. And also, because we're in the military, I swear to God, I don't want to become this guy, but, like...
You're going to see some shit.
Are we going to be, sitting there like, that's not true.
Well...
That's not true.
Most things people fuck up in productions, movies, shows about the military or having military involved in it is their uniform.
Yeah, and his looked good.
His looked good. Yeah. Like it looked like fucking pressed.
I even paused it and I was like,
yeah.
Yeah, I think that's that's an actual Air Force uniform.
Yeah.
Like, wow.
So, honestly, it looks good to me.
Yeah.
Like, at least that going into that aspect of things.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I would think some generals are probably like that, stressed out like that, or, super cool, you know?
So that's what I'm super enticed to see is, how he, because, generals, okay, when you think comedy, right, the first thing that pops into your head is not...
Not military, not...
Military
generals. At least, yeah.
Yeah, that's not the first... So I wonder how funny... And or realistic, it's going to balance that, this is a real general in the military who's busted his ass, really delved into his career, gotten into the politics of it all, jaded, done tours, all that stuff with, Steve Carell being funny. It'll be interesting. Oh, we got some notifications. Let's see.
Oh, it's just Patrick telling us not to forget our timesheets today.
Yes.
Because today, guys, we submit our timesheets.
Yes.
And our invoices, our hours and stuff, and that's how we get paid.
Yes, we're independent contractors, so
yes.
we're small business owners, essentially. we're part of middle America. But staying on Netflix, right?
Yeah.
But kind of shifting views from Space Force, which I'm actually now kind of excited to watch. But so there's a new show on Netflix as well. Have not watched it. Heard a lot of buzz about it. It's called Snowpiercer. Have you heard about Snowpiercer? You haven't heard about Snowpiercer?
It sounds like what I do when I pee in the snow.
Ooh, piercing that snow. Don't eat the yellow snow, Jerry. But Snowpiercer, essentially what the whole premise, I guess, is. So it's like post-apocalyptic humanity.
Yeah.
It's like a frozen wasteland, right? And there's a train. And this train just... basically runs it's just continuously going across the world apparently.
How?
And stopping for gas and stuff.
How is it like
I don't
is
know.
Is someone controlling the train?
Yeah, so it's driven and stuff and the last of humanity is on it. And
okay.
And while the upper class rich are in first class compartments, the dregs of humanity are in the very back. In just trying to survive, and there's a class warfare going on this freaking train.
This kind of sounds not really but it sounds like the premise of the movie The Platform. Have you seen that movie?
I've heard about The Platform. That's the one with the prison and the food and stuff.
It's if you're on the top, number one, you get the most food.
Yeah.
So therefore, ergo first class, whatever.
Yeah.
So, and then the rest.
Yeah.
It goes down, and they get less and less food as it goes to different floors.
Look at Netflix coming out with all the social commentary in their shows.
So, that sounds like that, at least.
Yeah.
I don't think it's has anything to do with food, but my question is, how does that work? You're in post-apocalyptic. There is no social structure.
Yeah. Anymore. I feel like... I don't know. I saw one scene from it, and it was pretty dark and fucked up. This little girl from the front of the train, first class, kind of wanders into the wrong area and gets kidnapped by the people at the back of the train.
Oh, shit.
And then they, make her stick her arm out the window, and it, freezes, and then they, break it off and eat it. And I was the fuck is happening right now, dude? Oh,
wow.
Yeah, she's like 7. So messed up. I was like, why would you do that to her? I feel like she doesn't even have meat on her arm. Like, why the arm, first of all? Why her, second of all?
Like, you could have played her options out. Like, all right, I got this rich girl.
Give us some food, and we'll give you the girl.
Yeah.
You know, a little ransom, but their first thought was, no, we're going to freeze her fucking arm off and then eat it.
I mean, why? You're basically reversing the process. Like, why freeze it when you could just cook it at least?
I know. Why, you got to thaw it now? There's a whole another, you know, hour and a half to your situation, dude. Like, just fucking chop it off.
Yeah.
You clearly don't care about her. So, might as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. It looked interesting. Where was I when I saw this? I think I was at a bar. It wasn't Flying Saucer.
Yeah.
Where was I? I was with Cece. I was somewhere. Yeah.
Anyway, well, since that's a post-apocalyptic show, let's delve into
the current apocalypse.
A possible pre-apocalypse.
So, yeah, how's your COVID experience?
Honestly, gone? Bro, like, it hasn't really affected me.
Yeah.
Like, oh shit, I'm getting a call. I don't know who that is. Let's go ahead and delete that.
It said Edzdov Chem.
I have no idea who that is.
Who's Edzdov Chem, dude?
It might be Kim.
Oh.
I don't know. Anyways, it hasn't really affected me.
Is that your handler calling you?
No.
It hasn't affected you?
Yeah, I've still been going out, obviously wearing a mask, whatnot, but, like, every day is, like, every day. Like, I don't stay fucking at home. Like,
yeah. And it should be noted, too, like, we live in San Antonio.
Yeah.
And for a little bit, they had, like, a shelter-in-place order down here.
Yeah.
But our work is deemed essential, so we got the paperwork to be able to travel. Like, I really never experienced quote-unquote quarantine other than, like, the effects that everyone felt. Like, gyms closed, yeah. Sports are gone, yeah. You know, stuff like that. But, like, other than that and wearing a mask, like, I was going to work every day. I went to the gas station to fill up my gas. I went to the store to get food, you know. So, the bars were closed. That really did affect me. Psychologically, that affected me. Like, that fucked me up a little bit. Like, I did a little too much day drinking at the house. You know, nothing else to do. But yeah, so how do you feel the response has been?
Such as, like, government response? Or
yeah, yeah.
Honestly, I think as a country, as U.S., like, we fucked up.
We dropped
the ball. Really? Someone around the CDC dropped the ball. Mm. Because the first fucking thing that happened was, you're good.
February, there
like
was
before fun. It started, oh, you're good. You don't have COVID.
Yeah.
You don't have coronavirus. You're good. You can go.
Yeah.
And then what? 2 weeks later, or I don't know how many days later, but
literally like 2 to 3 weeks after the CDC, NPR, Washington Post, all these major, the World Health Organization, they all said essentially the same thing. It's not a big deal. Calm down. Everybody calm down. And then 3 weeks later, we were in quarantine. Yep. We were in lockdown.
Yep.
And I was like, you fucking imbeciles. And I mean, this is the thing. It's not that they said that. That doesn't make me mad. Like, cool, you made a mistake, whatever. Everybody makes mistakes. Like, no one could have really seen this coming.
Yeah.
Although the World Health Organization, you would have thought, like, could have been like the one, but their response to Trump and their response to how he handled it, it's just so hypocritical.
Yeah.
Like, they're like, how are you not doing more? It's like, hey, idiots, you were the one who said not to worry about it.
Yeah.
Like, I thought we did a good job after the fact.
Yeah. But I don't think, like, well, it's not really our fault entirely. Like, you know, the whole thing with China withholding information.
Yeah, we can't help that.
Yeah, we can't help that. But we should at least have, you know, some type of cooperation as a country.
Yeah.
People were like, oh, do this. Or don't do that.
Yeah.
Or don't wear a mask. Or you can wear a mask if you want. Or wear a mask. You know, it's we're all like in a group project that like no one agrees upon.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So it's like, that's why I think as a country we're like, we're not organized. We're not.
Well, yeah. What I found super funny and kind of interesting is that, so COVID happens. It essentially changes every aspect of our lifestyle for a while, you know? People are actually dying, all that good stuff. Not all that good stuff. Yes. That came out wrong. But people are dying. It's affecting people. And somehow, like, in the middle of this literal pandemic, somehow the United States made it political. And it was like, how? How did we do this? Where if you're more conservative and you're right wing, you're like, oh, coronavirus, it's a hoax. You don't need to wear a mask. And then if you're on the left side, you're like, if you don't wear a mask, you're killing children. And it's like, dude.
5G gives cancer.
5G gives cancer. Trump is the devil. Like, okay. Like, you know? Yeah. Like, how? How do we do that?
I don't know. I think as a nation, we're, you know, we're already, like, divided, you know, politically. Mm-hmm. So, obviously, it's probably that was probably a given that was going to happen.
Yeah.
But the whole thing is just that, you know, I feel like we should have been more united. We are the United States. Like,
yeah.
And then people were dying because what? Because they didn't want to wear a mask?
Yeah. Well, and then there was also, like, in our defense, like, there was some medical controversy over the mask. Like, at first it was like, wear a mask. And then people were like, oh, it doesn't actually help to wear a mask. And then they were like, oh, no, wear a mask. Yeah. And then there was, like, people who wear a mask are actually more at risk because they're not washing it. And, like, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it was, like, super confusing. Like, now, like, I just, the way I work, like, coming in here into our job, we are, like, tested and, like, they're always checking us and, like, you know, checking for fevers, all that good stuff.
Yeah.
And no one in this building has contracted it, to my knowledge. No. So, I feel the need to wear a mask.
Yeah. Anymore. But the thing is, though, like, most young people could be considered as super spreaders.
Yeah.
Because most young people are asymptomatic if they do contract it.
Yeah.
So, honestly, me and you might have it. We don't know.
Yeah.
But the thing is, though, it's not going to kill us. And
We could spread it.
We could spread it. But you know what? This is honestly my opinion. You might express the same thing. But if I contracted it, or if I do have it, and I were to give it to an elderly person who's lived a long life, I wouldn't feel bad about it.
Oh, shit. Okay. I wasn't going to come out and say it on the podcast, but all right. So let's hear that rationale, my man.
Look, the way I think of it is they lived a long life, right? And I kind of agreed with Dwight in the office when he's like, look at all these people. We need a new plague.
Yeah. Doesn't Bill Burr say that too?
Yeah.
His wish.
Yeah, yeah. I just think that they lived a long life and they've fucked up the economy enough for us.
They did.
So, you know, I'm not going to purposely cough on old people. But, like, if I were to have it and somehow they contracted it for me, I wouldn't feel bad.
So, let me understand what you're saying. I'm going to lay this out. This is Brandon's take, not mine. So, let me explain. So, you're saying that because old people have lived long and they also fucked up the economy beforehand, right?
With, yes.
You know, all that other stuff, freaking boomers, that why mess up the economy again for them? And who cares if they get it?
I'm not saying who cares if they get it.
What if my gam-gam gets it, man?
Look, every elderly person besides my grandparents, that's fine. That's fair game.
They're all fair game. What was I going to ask you? I thought that was really funny, honestly. No, like, I mean, you know, there is a part of me. This is not the, you know, social and good citizen part of me. This is the evil part of me buried deep, deep down that everyone has in them, by the way. Yep. And denying its existence is a philosophical area, I'll have you know.
You say area or error?
Error.
Oh.
Did I say area?
Yeah.
I said area. Error. But there is a little part of me that was like, wait a minute. So we're supposed to just shut everything down, possibly cripple the economy for the next, like, I don't know, 30 years. So we can save fucking 75-year-old Gam Gam and her fucking dog. Like, what the hell?
Yeah.
Like, wait, why? Like, okay, like, what? Greatest generation? I have some disputes about that. And on top of that, like, I get you guys fought in. No, they didn't fight in World War II.
They didn't. None of them did. You guys are created because your parents fought in World War II.
Yeah.
So they wanted a fuck.
And they rode on the backs of that for years. Like, we're the greatest generation. It's like, you guys literally just had sex.
Yeah.
That's all you did. And then you created this massive housing bubble and huge financial, like, problem.
Yep.
That all came to a point in 2008. Thank you. I appreciate that. And all you Obama haters out there, he actually handled it pretty well.
He did.
It could have been a lot worse. Wait, yep. Was it 08 or 12? 2012?
It was 8. The recession was...
Yeah, the recession. Yeah. So, but... Yeah, I get your point.
I'm not and trying... And the evil side of me. Again, I'm not... I mean...
It sounds like you're condoning the death of old people.
I'm not...
Okay.
All right? I'm not going to kill old people or, again, purposely cough on them so that they get it.
Yeah.
Whatever. I'm just saying, like, if you die...
Yeah.
...as an old person who's lived a long, fulfilling life...
Yeah.
...right? You have grandparents, you know. You have grandkids.
Yeah.
Then you've lived a pretty good life.
Yeah.
Right? And this is just natural selection.
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah, like natural selection, short giraffes weren't able to pick from the apple trees. Yeah.
So they starve.
So evolution said, all right, kill you guys off.
Yeah.
Let's just keep going with the long-necked giraffes.
Man, well, that is a dark take.
Right? But, so since you guys are more susceptible to, you know, having fatal or dying from coronavirus, that's just natural selection.
So what do you think, because you have a significant other who works in the medical industry.
Yes.
However, there's been some rumblings as of late. I know it came up on Rogan's podcast, our Spotify colleague now, Joe Rogan, when he had on Elon Musk, Musk brought up the point that we don't have enough data on COVID.
Yeah.
And that... There was, like, we have a certain amount of COVID deaths, but then we have, in quotations, like, COVID deaths.
Yeah.
You know, where people are dying of other things.
Mm-hmm.
It could be something as drastic as, like, a gunshot, or it could be something as, like, normal as, like, you know, pneumonia or something like that. People are dying of that. They're testing positive for coronavirus, and so they're being put down as, you know, a COVID death.
Died because,
but they really didn't die because of that.
Or they could have, but it could also have been something else.
Yeah, or it's questionable at best.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts on that? Because I totally believe that. Because there are actual incentives, there are financial incentives if they die of COVID.
Yeah.
For the medical industry, which it's doing fine. It's always going to be around, but there are, you know, hospitals that are bankrupt. They can get, like, I think it's $13,000 extra if someone dies from COVID.
Jesus.
And then it's $39,000 or $36,000 if they put them on a respirator. If they put someone on a respirator, they will automatically get, like, a $36,000 grant.
Fuck?
Yeah, it's incredible. Like, there's a bunch of financial incentives. So,
side note, $36,000, apparently... If you post a video on Pornhub, you get $36,000. I saw that from a TikTok. Some girl said that she posted a homemade porn video and Pornhub sent her $36,000 to her Venmo. Don't know how accurate that is, but...
What? I You know, it's really funny once money gets involved, how your morals immediately begin to shift. Like, my entire code of conduct just went, question mark? Huh? Wait a minute.
You're like, yep, that's true. I might just post one tonight.
Like, you know, I mean, I'm not, you know. Although, Pornhub, to their credit as a company, did you know that they plant a tree
for every view?
For every view that they get.
Bro.
Which, that's a lot.
Yeah.
That's like... So, ironically, for the health of the planet...
I'm surprised this whole fucking Earth isn't covered in trees
right now. I know. How is that not... Like, I mean, come on. It's, you know, let's be real here, okay? I'm not saying it's right, but everyone out there, every dude...
Even girls.
Even girls. I mean, I feel like it's primarily a dude.
Yeah, obviously, yes. But girls do it, too.
But, like, I feel like we can talk about it as adults that, hey, most people out there watching porn, you know?
Yeah.
Like... How are there not more trees? Like, I mean, I guess, like, you know, it's a big world.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you know, man.
It's crazy.
We could be thanking Pornhub, the company, down the road. Like, thank you.
Thank you, guys.
The reason our environment is now stable is because of you.
And then they'll be like, no, it's because
it's because of you. No, thank you. Let's talk easy money.
What do you mean by that?
Well, you know, you mentioned $36,000
for
posting a video, which that's incredible. That is incredible. Our job's pretty easy.
Yeah. Yeah. It really is. Look what we're doing right now. We're getting paid.
Yeah.
To do this.
We're getting paid to do this. On top of that, we get paid to not even go in sometimes.
Sometimes.
Yeah. Let's not disclose too much information. Okay. Easy money, guys. Highly recommend. Highly recommend. If you don't know what to do with your life, take a year and a half. Cut out that year and a half of your life. Go to basic training. Join the Air Force. Trying to get into Intel.
Or any other thing that involves...
A top security
clearance. Top security clearance. Yeah.
Get and that clearance, man.
Join the reserves, though. Because... Yeah. I mean, you could join active duty. That's up to you. But you make way more in the reserves with your civilian job than being active duty.
The benefits are bountiful, man. Like, holy crap. Like, I was talking to my cousin. She, Hannah, she just got accepted to the Air Force Academy.
Oh, she did? Cool.
Yeah, so she's going to the Academy this year. Super proud of her. She wants to be a pilot like her dad. And I was like, well, I'm going to be a pilot first, so that sucks for you. And, you know, we have a whole little rivalry thing going on. But I was talking to her. And she was like, I'm so jealous. I'm so mad at you. I hate you that you have this easier job. And I was like, hey. I was like, listen. Snap out of it. I was like, listen. I put in my dues, man. I did basic training. I did tech school. I was on, like, you know, like, I didn't just, like, walk in off the street like, give me this job. Like, gotta, you know.
And that's what I think, you know. Like, that was a whole fucking, almost a year and a half of my life that I had to fucking do to get this clearance.
Exactly.
And now, I'm chilling.
Yeah, now I'm reaping the benefits.
Yeah.
But how many people can you point to that they did a year and a half of just shit to get this point?
I mean,
it was that bad.
It wasn't that bad still. But still, you still have to go through that, right?
Yeah,
you're still away from your family.
It's more annoying than... hard.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think we deserve it. I'm just saying, right?
I agree.
I mean, I'm not trying to like step on anybody's toes or anything like that and say,
absolutely, you know, not.
But you know, get a clearance. Join the military.
Yeah.
You know? And then you can not even just jobs like this where you're a secure escort. You can be a CST, which is a construction surveillance technician. To where you're actually watching people work on important stuff, but they're not cleared people. They just work on stuff that is in a cleared facility, so you have to watch them, right? Yeah. So a CST will watch them and make sure they're doing the right thing because they have the experience of doing that thing that the workers are doing. So they're not making sure they're not doing anything that could mess up anything in that clear facility. They're just working on that one specific thing. And since they know what they're doing, they have a skill, the CSTs can make way more money than what escorts make.
Yeah, we make pretty good money.
We make pretty good money. But a CST could make, like, I don't know, $100,000 a year. And especially if they're abroad, like if they were in Afghanistan or whatever, make even more money. And if you're a civilian on the intel side, because me and James are intel people in the Air Force community. If you're a civilian in the intel community, and you're working in Afghanistan or overseas in the Middle East, or whatever, you can make $180,000 to $200,000 a year.
Yeah.
Just for building briefs and telling them. That's it. So if you have a top security clearance, you can make really good money as a civilian.
Yeah. Now, as we transition here, we've been on for about 30 minutes, which is a good. I like this time. By the way, I got a lot of feedback about our times. They like the sweet spot, 30 to 45 minutes. So
yeah, because like Joe Rogan, right? He has people on who are celebrities,
yeah,
who people are invested in.
Exactly.
So they want to know everything.
Exactly.
Right? But me, we're just some regular average Joes.
We're your average Joes, yeah. Guys.
You know.
Nothing, you know, nothing wrong with a Joe.
So let's recap.
Let's recap. Well, real quick before recapping, we actually have some questions today.
We do.
We got the mailbag open,
oh,
guys.
Oh, wow.
Now, some of these are old.
Mail time. Copyright infringement.
All right. The first one. It's entitled New Listener. This is from a friend of mine, actually, up in, he lives in New York. Dom Mione. Boys, I wish I could have been the one to pop your email cherry. Missed opportunity on my part. I think he's referring to Greg there. Greg emails us a lot.
Yep, took our cherry.
The podcast is great. Just listened to the first three and I'm on a road trip, so I've got some time for more. Would you guys touch on the current state of Hong Kong, the protests and background and such? I'd love to hear your thoughts. Also, by the way, the audio can be a bit off at times, but you're clearly figuring your tone out, and I love it so far. Can't wait to hear more.
Oh, all right. I appreciate it. Yeah. What's his name again?
Dom.
Thank you, Dom. I appreciate it.
Dom is, he's very, actually, that coming from Dom, that's actually, I am taking that as high praise, because he's very into this type of stuff. Like, I know at one point, he's very into cinema. He's very into music and stuff like that, and kind of analytically. So that actually, that.
Well, I hope he's not biased because he's your friend. But I appreciate it.
We do appreciate it. Hong Kong, touching on Hong Kong,
that whole protest thing.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like so that email we gotta keep up to date on this. But with Hong Kong, I don't know what the current state is right now with whole COVID. Actually, that'd be fascinating. I'm going to do a little research more on that. But I know, like, my initial reaction to everything going on with them, fuck off, China. Like, holy shit. Like, that, like, I have another, I actually had to do
like a paper on it or something?
I had to write an official email,
to China?
To Captain Guajardo about Hong Kong. So I'll just go ahead and read this. It's very short, but it might shed some light. And also, it might actually...
Well, while you're pulling that up, I'll just go ahead and express my own views on the whole situation back then. I think it was great for Hong Kong to do this protest because, what was it? They wanted a democracy? Is that what they wanted? Or like China's what? Is it a communist party or is it?
They are a communist socialistic.
Yeah. So then they want a democracy, right?
Yeah. Hong Kong is. They're essentially a democratic state, city state.
Okay.
But their relationship with China is a bit tenuous.
Kind of like they're like a Taiwan 2.0.
Exactly.
So honestly, I really appreciate how they were like, you know, they wanted it to be more like America, because what they were protesting and they were singing the national anthem, our national anthem.
Yeah.
Because they decided enough was enough with this whole China's communist socialistic thing.
Yeah.
Because it wasn't honestly. If you're a communist, a socialistic party, you can go fuck yourself.
Seriously. Fuck off. Literally, I hate. Ugh.
Yeah.
So this is the email. This actually, I had forgotten a lot of the details, so this is a nice little enlightenment of them. This email is intended to display the precarious nature of the escalating situation in Hong Kong. Now, this was written back in October of 2019. Currently, as stand, Hong Kong has until 2047 to operate under their own laws while still part of mainland China, a system known as One Country, Two Systems. A law promulgating the idea of early annexation to China sparked massive protests, with the violence becoming the bloodiest on the 1st of October 2019, the anniversary of the Communist Party in China. Hong Kong Chief Executive Carrie Lam assured the people that the bill was dead. So there was basically a bill put forth that instead of waiting till 2047 to be annexed completely under Chinese rule and not to remain autonomous, they were going to move that up to 2020. Okay. So they were going to basically do it this year.
So they were going to separate from China and have be their own country.
No, they were going to go back to China.
Oh, okay.
Fully. Because they're kind of separate from China right now.
Yeah.
And people freaked out.
Yeah.
Hong Kong Chief Executive Carrie Lam assured the people the bill was dead. However, the protests have continued to escalate, with the first live round being fired on the anniversary day. Ages of those arrested range from 12 to 71. On the 1st of October, over 900 rounds of rubber bullets have been fired on the protesters from Chinese police, and an additional 1,400 rounds of tear gas were utilized. The protesters have stated they fear the loss of freedom of assembly and freedom of speech if annexed under Chinese law. Carrie Lam has failed to successfully communicate the decision to kill the bill, and Chinese President Xi Jinping has seemed content to allow the police to remain in Hong Kong proper. Both decisions could lead to dire consequences for all parties involved. So, yeah, that's kind of essentially where we were at that point. Where we're at now, I don't know. I'm going to have to do a little more research on that.
If, let's say, this whole coronavirus didn't hit, because they probably put a stop to their protest for a bit, right?
Or maybe even potentially, you know, gave an opportunity.
Yeah, or that. But let's say coronavirus didn't happen and mm-hmm. things continue to escalate with this whole Hong Kong protest thing. Do you think it could have been another Vietnam to where...
Ooh.
They didn't, well, it's not that they didn't, but we didn't want them to be a part of China officially, so yeah. We would have to step in.
I don't know, man. I don't know if it would ever come to kinetic warfare
with,
like, the United States getting involved on the ground.
What about this? Since China withheld information because of COVID, do you think there could possibly be some retaliation from our part or any other country's part?
I think there won't be. I think if Trump gets reelected, there might be some sanctions and such.
Yeah.
But I really don't see... I don't see from Hong Kong or COVID any, like, actual military kinetic, you know, response of, like, troops on the ground and stuff. But it is interesting. I feel bad for Hong Kong, man. Like, freedom of speech and freedom of assembly are kind of like that, too, like...
The big things to have.
Yeah, like you can't really.
You never really like, you know, you take it for granted.
Exactly.
But it really is a big thing.
Yeah, like in America, and I think those kind of get covered because they're almost given in America. Like we worry about like our guns, you know, freedom to, you know, arm ourselves. And that's great. But like if you're going to rack and stack like what's important, freedom of speech and freedom of assembly are kind of right up there.
Yeah, I remember one point we were talking about freedom of our guns, right? And now I am a gun owner, right?
Yeah.
But the whole thing about the Second Amendment, right to bear arms, is because, you know, we wanted to protect ourselves from a tyrannical government, right? Essentially, right? So we would have the same weapons that the military has to protect ourselves as people of the country. But as you stated before, we don't have the weapons anymore. Like, we are, like... They have fully automatic weapons. The best we can get fully automatic weapons, mm-hmm. but it will take some time.
And illegally.
Yeah. But the best we can get legally and without any time, as Texans at least, is a semi-automatic weapon.
Yeah.
If we were to have a tyrannical government They would, we couldn't defend ourselves.
I know. That's the ironic thing is like the whole premise of the argument on I want to be able to defend myself rests on the fact in that that word defense. Yeah. Like you defend yourself.
Yeah.
And while it is true, you can defend yourself against your neighbor
potentially,
who breaks in. That the point of the Second Amendment was not to defend yourself against your neighbor. It was to defend yourself against a government that possibly goes tyrannical. Mm-hmm. Well, fucking, you know, this is how it is, Jack. Yeah. Okay. If our government went tyrannical, your AR-15 wouldn't, like, it just wouldn't do shit. Yeah. Like, they could kill you from 70 miles away with a drone. Like, it's not the same as when the Founding Fathers wrote it, unfortunately. Yep. Like, at that point, yes, we were outmanned. Yes, we were outgunned. Yes, we were, you know, out everything, out-resourced by the British. But essentially, we were fighting with the same stuff.
Yep.
Muskets, ships, cannons. That's pretty much, like, both sides had that.
Yep.
A farmer had the same type of musket. Maybe an older version of it, but the same type of weaponry as a British soldier. Not the case anymore.
Yep.
Like, you can buy the best, most deadliest weapon on the market, and you're still outmatched 1,000,000 to 1. Like, it's not even comparable. Yeah,
definitely.
And so, yeah, I'm all for guns in the sense that I think guns should be promoted. I think you should be allowed to buy guns. Mm-hmm. However, I think to be able to get a gun, it should be extremely, not difficult, but a process to weed out who is...
In Texas, it's a background check, right?
Yeah, yeah.
It's a background check, so if you have any charges on you, felonies on you, you're not going to be able to buy a gun.
Yeah.
But you can still buy it. You probably can still buy it illegally, right? Like, people probably do it all the time.
Yeah.
Let's say you're a felon, right?
Yeah.
You can be like, hey, can you buy me a gun? I'll give you the money. I go to the gun store, I buy a gun,
mm-hmm.
it's under my name, and I give it to you.
Yeah.
So it's kind of hard to weed out that process.
It's super difficult.
But the thing is, though, is that people say guns kill people, and guns don't kill people. People kill people,
do kill people.
And the only thing, the most people who kill people are criminals.
Yeah.
And that's why we try to take that right from criminals.
And so that's the crux of the issue, is like, how do you... Not regulate. How do you minimize? Because you're right. People kill people. Okay, so then the next step is like, well, how do we keep the deadliest weapons that the people have out of the hands of the wrong people? And you can only do so much.
Yeah.
There's almost limited, like, you if you over-regulate... Mm-hmm. Then you create an economic boom in the black market.
Yep.
If you under-regulate, well, then you're not being prudent, and anyone can get it. So there's that balance that you have to find of where, like, you have to be able to... One idea I found, with Sandy Hook, right?
Mm-hmm.
The individual got the weapons from an unlocked...
His parents, right?
Yeah, an unlocked case in his parents' house. His parents, completely stable, completely normal, right? Those guns were not his. He took them from them.
Mm-hmm.
However, they should be prosecuted, not necessarily...
As heavily,
but they should be prosecuted for negligent gun ownership.
Yeah, because...
If
it's your gun... You're in control of that weapon.
Exactly.
Right? I have locks on my gun case.
Yeah.
And if I don't, I'll take it with me.
Exactly.
That way no one has possession of it.
And let me ask you, so that person had been mentally unstable and actually treated for that mm-hmm. for a while in that household. So let's say, Brandon Trujillo, you are the father of a mentally unstable child and you have guns in your home.
Or brother of a mentally unstable person. Because I do.
Hey, like, it happens. Are you going to leave your guns unlocked around there?
Fuck no.
Exactly. And so that should be prosecuted. Like, you should be, like, you know, you should be prosecuted to some extent. Like, you are partially responsible for the deaths of those children. As sad and as hard as that sounds. But I think that's an interesting way of putting a little more emphasis on, you know, quote-unquote good behavior when it comes to good gun behavior.
Yeah.
Because... I also don't think the answer is a blanket gun ban. That's a terrible idea.
Terrible idea.
Literally such a bad idea. America and everyone, anyone who comes out and is like, well, Britain did it. Well, Australia did it.
They're still killing people.
And America is different. Like, we are just different. We have always been different. We are the...
We're the only country who doesn't go by the metric system, so...
We're freaking weird. And on top of that, this is the land of opportunity, okay? But that goes both ways. It's not just the land of opportunity where you can go and make a good living and raise a good family and do a lot with your life in a good as a good citizen. It's also the land of the criminals, man. Like, we are the country that
everyone... We're the Wild Wild West.
We are the Wild Wild West. If we did a blanket gun ban, there would still be the same amount, in my opinion, the same amount of guns on the market.
Yeah, because there's still guns out there. Like,
exactly.
Like, people could still get guns. You put a gun ban, people are still going to get guns.
The only reason that there isn't a massive, or there is a massive gun trade from Mexico into the United States, but it's not nearly as big as the drug trade, the sex trade, or anything like that. And the reason that's not the case is because guns are not illegal here.
Yeah.
If guns became illegal here, that's just another trade that gets an economic boost.
It's almost like prohibition, right?
Exactly.
They ban alcohol, but
yeah,
we still had alcohol.
I mean, think about it like this. How many people did you know when weed was illegal, if you live in Colorado, California, Washington, all those states, or even in Texas where it's still legal, how many people smoke weed? Everybody smokes weed.
Yeah.
Everyone does. Like, half the people I come in contact with, maybe even more, smoke marijuana. Mm-hmm. It's illegal. But they still, they do it, and mm-hmm. they easily get around it.
Mm-hmm.
And marijuana is not nearly as dangerous or as scary as gun.
Yep.
As a gun. Like, that's not anywhere close to that. I don't think a blanket ban is the right way. I also don't think the other side is.
But you know what? As much freedom as we have to have our guns, right? I wish Hong Kong the same. To be able to get that freedom that they want and they deserve.
The saddest part about Hong Kong, I think, is that Hong Kong is like looked at or has been looked at. It's like it's an economic paradise. Like, it's bustling, it's busy, it's free.
It's like a Chinese New York.
It is. It's essentially a Chinese New York. And it's juxtaposed with mainland China, which is like kind of regulated. It's very regulated. Yeah. It's very rigid. It's very, well, communist. And so I think it would be a very, very sad thing. To answer your question, Dom, the long way about it. To answer your question, I think it would be extremely sad if Hong Kong was officially annexed to China
mm-hmm.
and the one party, the one country, two systems stopped. Now, to end the podcast, I thought we would read a little quote, a little email from Aaron Jackson. Another, he is the individual studying for his doctorate at Notre Dame.
Oh, dope.
We're kind of famous up there at Notre Dame, apparently. It reads as follows. Hello, Brandon and James. I was just getting caught up with your podcast and listened to the episodes from March and April. Ha, ha, ha. Lots of good fun. I finally got the inside scoop years after the fact about James getting blackout drunk the night before driving out to Syracuse. And yet on your podcast, when you mention how your parents made the decision to send you to a boarding school 1,000 miles away, you do so with an air of mystified, puzzled, and bafflement. That he's referring to why I was sent to boarding high school.
Yeah.
I appreciate my special mention on your show. Wow, I'm famous. Do I get royalties? On the other hand, I'm slightly disturbed to learn that sending email comments in this email address puts me in an exclusive club with the infamous Greg of New Jersey, and I am currently reevaluating my corresponding life choices. I hope my listenership gets you into the double digits. Can't wait for you to get into something juicy and controversial. I know you have it in you. Hee hee. Thanks for the fun listen.
Well, what might be juicy and controversial might be my take on this elderly coronavirus.
I think we've got our juicy and controversial right there. Brandon is pro dead old people.
All right, chill out with that.
I think we're gonna sign off. We've been going at it for about 50 minutes. It's a nice little runtime there. And guys, we're back. We've been gone. Let's be honest.
Look, I'm not gonna say there might be another stretch of time. Because I don't want to promise anything anymore because I don't want to break y'all's hearts.
Yeah.
But now that we're in summer,
yeah,
right, we have more time. We're not in school anymore.
Yeah.
We got this
chill-ass. I'm taking summer classes.
Oh, you are? Yeah, but it's, but it's summer classes are chill, you know?
They're chill as hell.
Yeah. So, it's fine.
Yeah, it's fine. And, yeah, we will definitely be back, and we have not forgotten about you.
You know what? Let's try to make this a weekly thing.
We're going
to
try and do a week.
Or at least bi-weekly.
I think if we can do 7 to 10 days in between each pod, that's a good good time frame. That's a good time frame. Now, Brandon, before we sign off, do you have any recommendations, whether that's TV shows you're watching, books you're reading, things you're doing? What do you got recommended for the people to try out?
All right. Well, I recently started watching Wilford again.
Okay.
And I recommend you watch it.
I've never watched it.
Honestly, if we can get it on the TV right now, we should watch it.
Absolutely.
It's hilarious. So if you want, if you haven't seen Wilford, or if you've seen Wilford, rewatch it or watch it, you know, because it's a funny show. It's a weird premise.
I love it. Yeah. I love it. Well, I my recommendation is, let's see here. You know, if you haven't, I'm reading a book right now, but I'm not done with it, so I'm not going to give my stamp of approval yet. So what I will give my stamp of approval, if you guys have not watched the show on Netflix, it's a Netflix original series starring Jason Bateman, directed by Jason Bateman, and it is called Ozark. If you have not watched that series, or if you're not caught up with season 3, highly recommend giving it a try. Stick it out. Stick it out through season 1 if you have never watched it. It's a fantastic show. They just aired season 3, and it's super, super. It's like the modern version of Breaking Bad.
Yeah.
Very interesting.
About to say that, yeah.
Yeah, very, very good show. But, yeah, this has been The Conversationalist.
All right, guys. Peace out. Y'all have a good day. Stay safe. Stay healthy. We love y'all. Signing out.
Ciao.